Welcome to the Real Estate Coaching Podcast, hosted by Cash Wayne Campbell, your number one podcast for real estate coaching, designed to help you increase productivity and profitability.
All right, guys. So welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Coaching Podcast. We're very, very excited for, you know, another episode today. We're going to take a look at the Canada market. I have a big guest here, one of the top realtors out of Canada. Mr. Shiraz Ali. He'll be sharing some of the information in regards to the Canada market with us. Last week, I believe we had a young lady from Nebraska. So we're pretty much going all over with this podcast right now. So Shiraz, welcome to the RealCast. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, my man. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's Labor Day here in New York, so it's pretty good. Just enjoying the day. It feels like a Sunday, actually.
That's amazing. Yeah, you know what? It's Labor Day up here in Canada, too, and I'm just catching up on marketing today. Been on the computer all day, just grinding away, trying to get my stuff together ready for the week.
Got it. So is it Labor Day in Canada as well? Or
yeah, Labor Day.
Oh, wow. So you guys also celebrate Labor Day there as well?
That's right.
Okay, wow. I didn't know that. I thought it was just here in the United States that they did that, you know?
Yeah, we got here, too.
Got it. Okay, good. What made you get started in real estate?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Previously, I was in a lot of various businesses, from nightclubs to restaurants to other hospitality, sports lounges, promotions. What happened was I've been in business since pretty much I was 16 years old. I, you know, took a few hits and I wanted to get in a business without, one, without partners, and two, without a lot of accounts payables. You know, previous businesses, I had a lot of high leases, a lot of personal guarantees, a lot of risk. And really, at the end of the day, the margins weren't there. So I decided to go into real estate to have, you know, a business where I work for myself still and have, you know, no partners at that given time. So that's the main reason why I chose the real estate career.
Got it. And you brought up a very important thing there. I mean, usually when you start a brick and mortar business, which at one point I seen the start of Dunkin' Donuts, I believe you have to have $1 million or something in the bank, or a liquid $1 million, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're starting with a lot of overhead. So, you know, real estate, I guess, has allowed you to grow a lot faster without the overhead, correct?
Yeah, no, you got it 100% right. You're right. There was just a little bit of overhead when you're in that, when you're doing it this way in regards to real estate compared to, you're right, a brick and mortar or any other type of business.
Definitely. And we have similar backgrounds. I know before we had a conversation that we were speaking about having backgrounds in the entertainment industry. How do you feel like real estate and the entertainment industry intertwine? You know, has it been easier for you with that background?
You know what? I always tell people, if you could promote or market a nightclub, a restaurant, you'd be able to promote or market any other type of business. That when you're going into a field like that, it's a very different type of niche, you know, from various, let's say, for example, if you're a top 40, you know, nightclub or top 40 or a Vietnamese restaurant, you're going to hit a niche in that specific area, right? So best example is it's a top 40, you're a top 40, you know, techno nightclub, and you're promoting between the 18, or well, in Canada it's 18, but there will be 21 to 25 year old market, you know, these people that party, right? In real estate, though, you hit everybody and everyone. So the good thing about that is you get that opportunity to, you know, market and get to know people of all type of ranges, all type of people. So you don't pigeonhole yourself in one little niche. So I think the best example is, I think the best thing when it comes to being in that industry is taking what I learned from there and putting it into real estate, from the marketing to the social media to the communication and customer retention, which is huge, especially in those industries.
So what you're saying is that you basically the marketing that you learned from the club side, you basically just implemented it into the real estate side, correct?
100%. So a few things I took from there in regards to graphic designs to Facebook ads was one of the big ones where I was able to go in, especially in Canada, where we're a little behind compared to the States. And I was able to really infiltrate that type of marketing that other realtors weren't doing, along with videos. Like we used to do a lot of commercials and stuff like that as well in the past. So I was able to implement a lot of different types of marketing I learned from the clubs into real estate for sure.
Absolutely. Because I tell a lot of people, man, sometimes each area of your life, you know, you're going through so many different experiences, but you may not have been successful at each thing you did, but you got to pull something from everything you did. And then all those things lead you up to the master plan. So now you know how to do graphic design because you did that in your past. You know how to pass out flyers. You know how to
market
because all those things you did in your past, and it just leads you up to the master plan, you know?
100%. 100%. Bang on.
Definitely. So I just want to also speak about the structure of your business. So right now you have a team of agents, right?
That's right. So actually I have a lot of staff. So as my business grew, so the first year, of course, I'm kind of a one-man show, doing the marketing, doing the buying, doing the selling, doing everything, photography. I was taking my own pictures. As you grow and get busy, you want to bring in a lot of different staff. So now I have a full-time marketing guy, 40 hours a week, that does all my social media, does all my listing presentations, does all my feature sheets, and he does all my open houses as well, like the graphic, the designs, putting the signs out. So he's pretty much running around all day doing all the stuff that I used to do in my first year. Then I have a buyer's agent. So what that happens is when I have a buyer, I bring him into an office and I introduce my buyer's agent who runs around, shows them the type of houses. Once my buyer likes a house, I go in the house myself one last time to take a look at it, just in case my buyer's agent misses anything. And then eventually we write the offer on the home. In regards to the open houses, I do have staff now that do the open houses. I usually actually hire new agents to kind of give them an opportunity to meet potential buyers as well. So right now I'm in the mode to hire a licensed assistant as well to actually able to write the contracts as well when I'm out of town. So in regards to the commercial department, I have partners in regards when I do get a commercial listing, I do have partners on that. And then I have different areas as well. You know, you can't take on a whole area. I tell people all the time that you should farm one area and concentrate on that. But at times you're going to get listings in other areas that you're not going to be familiar with. In regards to that, you should bring in another expert in that area and, you know, cut them into 50-50. You know, they're doing all the work. You just kind of, you know, provided the lead. So that's how I've set up as of right now.
Got it. So it's very structured. And are you still, as far as with, let's say, a lot of agents may have questions about prospecting. Are you still prospecting right now? Or
every single day?
I'm sorry?
Every single day I'm prospecting. There's no, I will never stop prospecting. I still hit doors. I still door knock. I have a goal every day. I knock 10 doors myself. One day, that's my goal that I have. And don't get me wrong, I have teams that are doing different. They have got guys doing door hangers. We do flyers. You know, I guess there it's different, but we have Canada Post flyers that we do mailers. I call those spray and pray campaigns, right? You're spraying an area and praying that someone calls. But the best way is to get out in front of people, whether it's cold calling or it's door knocking. But the more people you meet, the more money you're going to make. And this goes for any industry. I don't care if you're in finance, insurance, real estate. Yeah, I don't care if you're still in nightclubs. You know, at the end of the day, the more people you meet, the more money you're going to make.
Got it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And do you feel you have to, like, let's say prospecting, because I've had different, you know, real estate experts, brokers on the show before, and they're kind of two-sided about this question. Do you, as the rainmaker, are we still prospecting, or we can hire someone to prospect if that could be delegated? And if that person who you delegate that job to, are they still gonna, you know, hit the phones as you would, you know?
100%. You gotta find someone with a good sense of humor. But to be honest, with my staff that I have that are doing some marketing for me and the prospecting, I just ask them to get cold leads for me. It's my job to nurture that lead into a warm lead and eventually get the sale. So for them, they have it pretty basic. They get the contact information, and it's my job to follow up with it and, you know, build that relationship. This isn't any business, and especially where the world is going more online and, you know, a lot of industries may not be around 10 years from now, you're going to have build that personal relationship with one or the other. This is what Starbucks did. This is what Tesla and Elon Musk did. This is what Steve Jobs did. People fell in love with the person. Then they eventually bought the product, right? So besides the product has to be really good as well. But at the end of the day, it's a relationship-based world. And I think a lot of people have forgot about that. And, you know, the old way of making everything automated, I think there's still a sincere appreciation for people building relationships with each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. There's certain parts of it that it's not everything that money can buy. You know, money can't, if we want to put it from that perspective, money can't buy, you know, good profitable relationships, you know, maybe in some cases, but you know, you still need it.
And you know what, when you build up those relationships, that's when your business is going to flourish, right? So that's where at the end of the day, referrals and word of mouth will still always be the number one way of getting business, no matter what business you're in, right? Your phone's going to ring. Hey, this person referred me, this person referred that. So if you don't think customer for attention first, relationship building first, you're pretty much screwed in any business you're in.
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, now moving back into your career now, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
You know what? I came into my career of real estate thinking, I know everybody, I'm going to completely kill this. And it wasn't the case. This is a completely industry. And you got to hit it. You know what? Especially coming from the clubs and the restaurants, that was a different demographic, very younger demographic. So trying to pivot into real estate thinking you're going to get that clientele is totally, it's not happening. So you're going to have to kind of go, you know, you're going to have to reach out a different clientele that you're not used to. That is very important. And two is I wish I shadowed someone in my first year, or I worked with a new builder to really understand houses. So my first couple of years, I didn't understand houses. I, you know, couldn't even tell the difference between a gas furnace and an electric furnace, you know, so I couldn't tell between double pane or triple pane windows, even drywall, even electrical, you know, knob and tube wiring, where in my area we have a few older houses, right? So aluminum wire. There's so many things that I wasn't able or educated on. So I tell people today is, you know, shadow someone for 6 months or shadow various different agents and, you know, get a feel, get a grasp of what they're doing, or work with a new home rep where, you know, you won't make a lot of money, but you know, people, you're working in an open house all day. And you know, people are coming in, you're meeting people and you're understanding houses. Get the education before. And there's a lot of good books out there that people should be reading. There's one I read recently called Flip. It's a big green textbook. And I tell people, hey, if you want to flip houses, all you need to do is read this book and it'll teach you a lot. Right. So, get the education. Once again, this goes for any business. I think it's very important to get education, shadow someone before you try to, you know, take over the world or conquer the world in that industry.
Absolutely. I always tell people, you know, I tell people the same thing. And also it has, if you look at a doctor and a lawyer, right, they go through so much years of schooling. You know, people go through, you know, in my area, 75 hours for the course. They go through a 75 hour course and feel they've been doing it for 15 years, you know? Yeah. So then those people end up, you know, are the ones that usually go through the hard time in real estate, you know, for the people who feel like they know it all. Don't be an expert, find an expert.
Yes.
That should be on the shirt. Don't be an expert, find an expert. You know, but definitely, what is your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
In real estate, you know what? My biggest failure, I wouldn't say would be in sales, but it was more so in development, where I wasn't able to get the cost of my construction budget correctly. And, you know, the first house was very difficult thinking, you know, going, you know, hiring a GC, you know, trying to learn from them. It varies on failures. I've failed a lot in business and I've learned every single time. So I always tell people to fail forward, try it once. Worst comes to worst, especially when you're building a house, you know, rent it out. That's your kind of your contingency plan in life. In regards to sales and real estate sales, I wouldn't say I had any failures, but there's been times, let's just say my first few deals where I wasn't able to understand a contract. Or, you know, you're going through the contract, the 4 or 5 pages, and, you know, there's a few things that you just don't understand. Stuff like that, you have to go to your broker. You have to go see your lawyer. Don't fill it out. If you don't know anything, be completely upfront with your buyer or seller. Be like, you know what? I'm new to this. Let me get someone to double check this. I feel like a lot of people are trying to impress their first clients, like that they are an expert. It's better to come out very open, say, you know what, this is my first, because I'll work harder than anybody else, but this is, you're going to have to bear with me in regards to the process, because it's new to me too. And I think more people, especially this day and age, will respect that. And I don't want new agents to make those type of mistakes on their first few deals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes the customer with you probably will, you have an easier time putting that person in contract, just being upfront with that person, versus things coming up. And next thing you know, they're just pointing the fingers at you versus you giving that disclosure. Yeah. I totally agree. And what are some of the best resources that have helped you along the way?
I read a lot of business books. So Gary Keller, he's a great author. He's the one I believe that wrote Flip. I read a Josh Altman book. I read The Sell. He's actually from your city, New York. Was a pretty good book. It's actually a really good book. I enjoyed it. It felt like a really fun read as well. Kevin Ward read a book called The Book of Yes. It's a really good book. It's a very, very good book in regards to conversations in real estate. So I tell people all the time to read. Like I said, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. I'm an avid reader. I read 50 pages a day minimum. I do not watch Netflix. Just try to read as much as you can. Now, keep in mind, no matter what books that you do read, a lot of stuff's going to be repeated because of how books are, but you're going to get one or two points in each book that's going to really help your career out.
Absolutely. Because again, you have people that want to skip the process, get the license and not trying to learn anything. Just feel that they're just going to wing it in real estate.
You know what? There's an 80-20 rule, 20% control 80% of the market. In real estate, it's 90-10. 10% control the show. And you got to be that 10% or you're going to get crushed at the end of the day, right? But the good thing about real estate, there's a lot of avenues you can go to make money, right? You got development, you got flips, you could be a buyer's agent, you could be a listing agent, you could work on a team. So there are a lot of endless opportunities in the field. But like any business, it's going to be up to the agent, up to the person and how hard they work.
Absolutely. And a person could necessarily be at any point, at any part of the industry, any niche in the industry, but I feel like they also have to sharpen their skills on the business as well, in order to grow. We never want to keep a person at a certain level. Over the years, everybody wants to grow. And I feel like you brought up a really good point by reading books and, making sure that, you keep all this content fresh in your mind. So that way you're consistently learning. Yep. Very, very important. Mm-hmm. All right. And who are three people who have been the most influential in your life?
Influential is going to be pretty tough to say. Like I said, I read boatloads and boatloads of books. You know what? There's a book called The Miracle Morning for Real Estate Agents. I think every agent should read that. That will get your ass up at 5 a.m. in the morning, get the gym, and really put you in the right mood and the right way to go in your everyday use. There's a lot of people like Grant Cardone, 10X is another great book for real estate agents to read. I've read books that, there's a lot of people out there. Gary Vee gives me motivation every morning. I used to hate Gary Vee, but he really grew on me over time. He really grew over me over time because he actually tells it how it is. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, which is obviously a classic. I think that book's great for anyone that wants to get into real estate investments. Yeah. Well, I read that book like 18 times now. That book is great for anyone, but I think with real estate agents who at times get these leads that they should try to keep or find the money to take it themselves, which is what I tend to do. When the lead's so good, what's the point of putting it on the market when you can buy it yourself, right? So absolutely. I think Rich Dad Poor Dad is an awesome book for anyone to read for sure.
Absolutely. Where can our listeners connect with you online? Where can we?
Yeah,
can
you know what? The best way probably would be through my website, shirazali.ca. I'm all over Twitter. I'm all over Instagram, Facebook. Shirazali, S-H-E-R-A-Z, last name A-L-I. You will find me. Follow me on Instagram. I'll probably follow you back. Pretty easy to get a hold of. I'm here to help people. I think it's very important to have someone that'll tell you how it is. There's a lot of, I'll tell you something about real estate agents. There's a lot of sales guys out there. There's that just, you know, like car salesmen. There's a lot of used car salesmen. I'm not that type of individual. I'm very honest, very truthful, very straight up. So if you're looking for an agent to kind of get advice with, I'm here for anyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. So, you know, as we wrap up, Shiraz, I'd like to thank you. I would like to thank you for coming on the podcast. You know, you took time out of your day today. It's Labor Day. I know, you know, there in Canada as well. And, you know, we definitely appreciate you coming on. And, you know, we're going to get ready to wrap up now. And thank you for jumping on with us.
Ashwin, it was awesome. Thank you. You asked some great questions. I can't wait to put this on my website along with a link to your website. And, you know, at least I could promote you out here in Canada. So if any of my colleagues want to come out to New York and buy some property, they can connect with you too.
Thank you. And vice versa. Same here. So as it's done, you know, we're going to put it up on the website, social media here. And then, you know, hopefully if someone is thinking about coming out to Canada, you know, you're the guy.
Sounds good. Sounds good, man.
All right.
All right. Talk soon. Enjoy the rest of your holiday.